This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The big shot of the night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson. Bright lights, big city, bunch of big shots. Tonight's big shot of the night has to go to Austin Wells. He makes history. I mean, just think about it. This guy is the first catcher since 1900 to do what he did. All the talk about why is he leading off? Why are you going to have your catcher lead off? The Yankees have never had it done. Well, you know what? They also never had a guy homer like he did. And you know what? It was such a big homer. It just lifted all the Yankee fans up all across the Yankee universe. But like the stadium, it turned the stadium up right away. Talk about answering the call. Austin Wells, this guy, he's the hairiest guy on the team. He could grow out a beard, but he still doesn't. He just rocks the same mustache. Oh, honorable mention to Carlos Rodon, who showed up today with a little bit of a beard. Shout out to his wife, who's on Twitter talking about her husband's beard. She got her guy back, but like the big shot of the night is Austin Wells. Who was calling the game for Carlos Rodon? It was Austin Wells. Austin Wells, I'm impressed with you today. I mean, this guy is leading the way right away. And of course, he homers, and then his boy Volpe follows through. So big shot of the night, your catcher, leading off, number 28, Austin Wells. 888-808-1019. Open mic time, whatever you would like to discuss as we get out of here in the next 50 minutes or so. Keith McPherson on the fan. Let's go to my guy, Mario Long Beach. Always on. What you got, Mario?
What's going on? Great show as always. So really excited about the game today, you know?
Yeah, it was a good vibe, man. It was
good vibe, good vibe. And, good, you know, I'm really happy that Cabrera is getting a chance at third base, man. I always thought he got a raw deal, especially like last year. He would get like two hits and then they'd bench him. You know, for no reason. You know, let this guy play. Let him play the whole year. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised with his output, you know?
I would like to be.
He's going to do fun.
Yes, sir.
Right? Even look at today's game, for example. Nothing big, but he got a hit clean in the field, and he made a nice play tagging up on a short fly ball, put the pressure on the outfielder, and scored, you know? So he did his part today, don't you think?
Yeah, he did. I mean, some days are going to be his day or somebody else's day. I was impressed with the defense today. Good enough for me. It's day one back in the Bronx.
Right, exactly. It's the first day in the Bronx, you know, and I think it's going really well. One thing that really bothers me, and I don't know if you could, you're watching a game now, so you're watching a game on TV, right? So now with the box that they show you for the strikes, right? Sometimes it would just show the ball, and you have to see with your own eyes if the ball hits the line or not, right? Now it's saying K on it. you know, it's saying the word K.
Okay, yeah.
So you know right away if it's a strike, you know?
Yeah.
You don't even have to look to see if it's on the line, right? I don't know if you noticed that, right?
I think I have seen that. I obviously was at the game, watching the game live.
Oh, right. You could have, right, exactly. So that's what they show. So, Keith, this is what bothers me. There's so many wrong calls, and the thing is, when they're showing it on TV, the announcers don't know what we're seeing, and they're saying, oh, I thought it was outside. But yet the picture is showing it was a strike. So they're contradicting what they're not saying, you know, which is not really right either. So they need to really get that thing together. But in the sixth inning, when Rodon walked that guy and he got taken out of the game, that was strike three, according to the pitch. If it's strike three, he would have made it through the sixth inning. You know, we gotta go. Why are we not going automatic? I mean, they're doing.
I was about to say it's coming after we lock out 2027, whenever it starts up. Automatic balls and strike system is going to be in play. We already seen it. It already exists. It's already working. So,
yeah. Well, and what are exactly. What are we waiting for? There's no reason to wait any further.
They're going to try to refine it, I guess. But yep, it'll be here after they lock out.
Do I have 30 seconds for one point about the Knicks?
Yeah,
Josh Hart. Right. I think he doesn't get enough love. This guy is not the most talented guy. He doesn't have the most skill, but he puts the effort that this guy gives is incredible. Do you know he's averaging 9.7 rebounds a game at 6'4"? He's averaging more rebounds than Wembanyama was averaging when he was playing.
Yeah, that's who he is.
And his 9.7 rebounds are the second most in the history of the NBA for a guy at 6'4" or less. In the history of and how about his 9 triple double this year? He just passed Clyde Frazier with 9 triple doubles. Now, he's never going to light up the scoreboard and be the greatest ever, but these are the kind of players you need. Thanks for taking my call. Always a pleasure speaking with you, my buddy.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you, Mario. The thing about Josh Hart, too, is like when you talk about glue guys, when you talk about, you know, the guys that you want and you need on a team. You want him, but, you know, sometimes they want to turn him into a shooter. They want him to be anything else. Like, he's a hustler. I think he does get enough love. I think Knicks fans know who he is, and they appreciate him. He might not get enough love in the NBA circles. He might not get enough love on NBA shows. But, you know, LeBron doesn't even like how they covered the NBA. You know, if the King doesn't like it, then you understand why they're not giving Josh Hart any love. I mean, I don't know. We got to talk to Stephen A. Stephen A. said he would have swung on LeBron. Stephen A., you got to give Josh Hart more love. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tony up in the Bronx on the Fan. You got it, Tony.
Hey, Keith. Big fan.
Thanks. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Keith. One thing. Two things from the game. First of all, one, when Cole came out, they announced him. He came out with his cast. Got a little teary-eyed.
Yeah.
Loaiza, they announced him. He came out. Where was Stan? Stan, he never got announced, but Stan was in the dugout. That was weird. I found it weird.
Now that you say that.
That is very, I'm telling you, I saw him in one of the innings. He was talking, he was standing side by side.
I was going to say, Rami just said in my ear, I'm like, I know he was there because we could see his little stubble, his beard. I just looked him up.
He never got announced. Never got announced.
Was he not announced?
Keith, I'm not lying. He was not announced.
I guess he wasn't announced, but early, I remember we got news earlier in the day that, like, there were positive signs that Stan responded well to the PRP shots and that he should be back at some point this season. Andy Martino reported that. So I remember talking to people out there like, yo, Stan will be back. Stan will be back. But yeah, you're right about, like, there was no introduction for him. I don't remember seeing him come out.
Very odd. Keith, one more thing. You're the best, and this is why I don't go to Yankee games. Because every time I go, I come back just something like just like you, all horse, man.
Yeah, if you got to talk for a living, that's tough, right?
Hey, Keith, a quick shout out to my son, Antonio from Levittown. He always goes to the games. He's a big fan of, you know, like me. We love you, man. Keep up the good work, Keith.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, I don't know. You know, someone on Twitter had said something to me earlier, and I'm like, listen, you know. I've been going to games. They're like, yo, you apologize for your voice a few times early in the show, but we love it. It shows you're a fan, living and dying with your guys. Never change. You're the man. I'm like, I'm gonna be this way until I can't. Thank you. Like, I'm gonna go to the game until I can't, bro. Like, I'm gonna take my son to the game as soon as he's old enough to go. Like, I'm gonna go to the game and I'm not gonna be quiet at the game. Like, isn't that part of it? don't know, growing up watching Yankee Stadium and seeing Yankee fans freaking out, flipping out. Like, I just always, I don't know, when I was young, I thought, like, it was just for rich people in New York. And then as I got to New York, I realized there's a lot of people at the stadium that are not rich at all, but they find their way in. And if you're allowed to be a part of that 46,000 plus today, I don't know. I can't go in there and be quiet, yo. Especially at, like, the first time after last year. No. So my apologies again for losing my voice. But like I was just saying to Marco before, not this break, maybe 10 o'clock, like, I don't think anyone loses their voice intentionally. I don't think anyone starts yelling and screaming like, I'm going to lose my voice today. You just like, it's an emotion. It's a thing that you do at the game. I don't know. I haven't been to a Yankee game in months. So, you know, I didn't go in there today thinking like, oh, I got to be quiet, but I'll be quieter next time I have a show. No, I'm not. I'm lying. Like, that's full cap. I'm going to go there and I'm going to yell. I'm going to do the roll call. I'm wherever I'm at. I'm yelling and screaming. Like, if you're in there and you're blessed to be in there, participate. 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross, you're back on the Fan.
Keith, how you doing, man? Hope good, you hit good. It off at Stan's or Billy's either or, but good to hear you host.
Yeah, I was in both.
Stan's for us Yankee fans and Mets fans. Yeah, it's opening day, 3 o'clock. Buck on the mic saying, see you, Michael K. Went from closer, now I'm opening. They call me Mr. Clay. Wells and Volpe got some different plans. They hit, they hop, hooray. Hey, Mountbound in the 718, they got a 20-milli southpaw. They know we love to hate. Airbender in the 9th tried to kiss that lead goodbye and give it up for Mr. Marsh and learn to catch it on the fly. Now, meet the Mets. You know, we got to greet them. Telling me to find Nemo, I could barely see him. Crawford got the roof closed at the old minute made. So Soto 3-0 shuffle chasing ever since he got paid. Think I missed the mark. Yeah, we ain't forget Vientos. Only meant more useless. Got a gov name like George Santos. Brett Beatty's biggest highlight still is pop slipping a squeeze. Left 5 runners on late. Just your average Metsy tease. Different years, same Mets. Got us all in different moods. Hell, we even got a catcher who was stocking shelves at Whole Foods. Tell you this, though, Keith. At least they ain't the Rangers or the way they play. Think we got another case of strangers. Freestyle Thursday like it's 0.7 the block. Keith, I appreciate you giving me the floor. Now let's put the ones back on the clock.
Oh, my. My jaw just dropped. I'm like, wow.
You know what, man? I asked Rami if I could put that together. I put together, like, I'll tell you this. I think we got the same old Mets on our hands. And just let me see one of those 5 borough race tours, and I'll put something together for one of those. We got the piece of the giraffe. What else we got? The freaking skyscraper.
The ferry.
Oh, my God, man. It's a different year, same circus. And what I tell you, I said, give it time. I'll put plus 150 that Frank goes after the giraffe first. Guarantee it. What a freaking disaster. You know what, man? Like I just said, Soto 3-0. Guarantee you, he's wearing navy blue pinstripes. He's looking at every ball that comes his way. And now you got to chase him at sliders thrown to freaking Dallas. It's typical, man. Typical.
It's the first game. I'm telling you guys, Soto's homering tomorrow. He's going to come back locked in. But I'm still trying to go back to some of the bars, Ross. Like, you must have time. I don't have time to write bars. Like, I'm too afraid to just wrap off the top. Like, I need to get back to the bars. That was tough.
I was a little nervous, man, because I know you hadn't done the Freestyle Friday in a little while. I said, you know, I got to try this out. I was hoping, you know, you're on tomorrow, but I saw you. I don't think it said you weren't.
We got March Madness on, but I'm due for a wrap now. You know what? You got it. Since I'm off tomorrow, I'm gonna put a note, like spend an hour to put some rhymes together. You just outdid me. I haven't rapped on the Fan in months. I'm impressed with you. I'm like you didn't miss. That's the whole thing.
They got
you can't miss.
They got me to put some stuff together at school. I said, you know what? I call you more than anybody with the freestyle and all that. I said, I got to piece something together. And what better day than opening day? And some of the crap, you know, the Mets are bulletin board material. I had trouble writing some stuff for you guys. I could have went like 5 pages. So I appreciate the time, man.
Man, well done. Well done, Ross.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Ross came through. He had the bars on Deki Matsui. I wasn't expecting that.
Tough to follow that up, huh?
Yeah. I've rapped on the Fan at least 4 or 5 times, and then I was doing the football raps. I'm like, it's been a while. I'm just busy, man. I don't have the time.
I asked him if he wanted a beat in the background, but he did it dry.
Acapella. No music.
Yeah.
No music. Now I got to write some. Now I'm like, all right, now I got it. I'm off tomorrow night because we got March Madness. Next week, I got to come through with some bars. And I'm going to do it over a beat. I'm not going to miss either.
Did you see the end of that Laker game? I just saw the end of it.
No, what happened?
The Bulls.
Bron tipped it in for the win again?
The Bulls were down 5 with 10 seconds to go, and they hit 2 threes. They hit a 3, stole the inbound, hit another 3. Now they're up 1.
Oh, well,
Reeves
I'm looking at it now.
Hits a 2 to take the lead, and then they hit a half court.
Josh Giddey,
game winner. That is wild. 3 threes in 10 seconds to win the game.
Yeah, those Bulls, I can't even make a joke. Those Bulls are going to make some noise in the play-in tournament. Good for those young Chicago Bulls, man. I don't know.
Do you see the Soto at-bat yet?
I did. And I said, yeah, I was, I think before we went to the last break, I'm like, okay, now I changed my mind. Now that I saw it live, like, you know what? I was listening to Mike Francesa's pod, and I just was seeing Mike Francesa, like, I guess he was walking on the street somewhere, fans running up to him. You know, Francesa's got, like, a different kind of aura. He's got a different type of emotion.
He's the Pope.
He is the Pope. Like, he hasn't been on WFAN in a while as far as, like, his shows, but he's got respect out there. There's young guys following him, you know, with a camera, but I was listening to his podcast, and he was like, Soto doesn't have a bad at-bat. Never a bad at-bat. Judge has some bad at-bats. Soto never a bad at-bat. I won't say that was a bad at-bat, but, like,
I'll
game on the line.
This is exactly what I thought when I watched it live. If this was last year, and I'm not trolling. I know I'm a Yankee fan, but I love the Mets. I was the one who was on the Mets when they were 11 games under 500 last year. I said, the receipts are out there.
You talked to Steve Cohen on Twitter.
I did talk to Steve Cohen on Twitter. I made the Mets post the end of the year video that has Mets fans still crying
right
in my DMs. So, like, I love the Mets. Everyone knows that. Ask any of my friends. I'm not a Yankee hater. But if this was last year and we saw it, case in point, because last year on opening day, he hit a home run off Josh Hader. If this was last year, Juan Soto doesn't strike out there, and I'll tell you why. Because 3-1, there's a fastball up in the zone. And what does he do? He's scared. He chases it. He tries to hit the 3-run bomb. He chases the fastball up. If this is last year, I know Sal Licata complained on this radio station about him taking too many walks, but if Aaron Judge is hitting behind Juan Soto, he takes a walk there. He passes the baton. How many times did we see it last year in big spots? He said, all right, I'm good. You want to walk me? Walk me. And in this game, on 3-1, he swings at a pitch a foot above the zone, fouls it back, and on 3-2, he strikes out on a slider in the other batter's box. He does not swing. Mike Francesa is right. He doesn't take a bad at-bat when he's intentional about it, but he didn't trust Pete Alonso behind him. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. If Aaron Judge is hitting behind him,
bro,
he doesn't swing at those pitches.
Like, okay, so that like check swing that in the book, put it in the books, is a swinging strike. He's got a hold there, man, with the game.
No, but
on
that wasn't close. He didn't hold. He pulled it back to make it look closer than it was. He swung on that.
I'm looking at it now. It was like, at least on MLB.com, it's so far outside. Swinging strike. 85.6 mile an hour slider. It is in the other batter's box.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way he swings at that last year with Aaron Judge looming on deck. There's no way.
Yeah. Hey, you got it, Rami. That's your take. That's how you feel. How I feel is just like, I've seen so many Juan Soto at bats. For him to go up 3-0 in a count and then called strike on a slider, fouled it off. He's, I don't know, with the game on the line, with runners on, like, we can't read too much into it. It's game one. It's the last at bat of the day. Like, what I will say, and mark my words, we'll come back Monday. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if I'm right, you got to give it up. You got to give props. From what I saw of Juan Soto last year as a Yankee, that is bothering him right now. He's thinking about that right now, even in his dream world. If he's asleep right now, he's thinking about that right now, and he's going to come to the ballpark tomorrow. He's going to take extra BP, and he's going to be extra dialed in, and every at-bat, like, he's not looking for walks. He's looking to do damage.
100%. I fully agree with you. This is not an indication of what's going to happen this year. I think he has, if Ohtani misses some time, the only way Ohtani doesn't win MVP is if he misses some time. So if Ohtani misses some time, I think Soto's going to win MVP. He's going to be second in the MVP if Ohtani doesn't miss time. So I think, yes, he's going to have an incredible year. I bet him to hit a home run today. I believe in Juan Soto. I don't think this is an indication for things to come, but I think in that moment, He was thinking about, this is my time to shine. This is the $800 million contract. This is, I show you who I am. I'm not passing the baton to no one. And that came back to bite him.
Well, because he's not passing the baton to the MVP. He's the highest paid player in all of sports. It's on him. So now that opens up the dialogue of what I was saying before. Does the contract change Juan Soto? Juan Soto has been a robot. Juan Soto has been automatic leading up to getting paid. But now that he's made the money, now that he is the highest paid player in the history of sports, does he feel like he has to be literally Superman? Does he feel like he literally has to save the day? When last year we watched him with the Yankees say, I just got to get on. Job done. Judge, you do it. But now with the Mets, he's Mr. Met. Now with the Mets, the owner of the Mets gave you all this money. You like, that's why they pay you the big bucks. I like, is he going to press now to try and come through in every situation? Like, this is what we do on opening day.
See, the answer is no, but he did it on opening day.
Yeah,
so that's all we have to react. It's so funny. Giannotti said it on the morning show this morning. We're going to react to opening day like it's a football game, like it's one of 17, and then we're not going to react to any baseball game like this until we get to the playoffs.
But good for us. Good for us that we can, and it already happened on Twitter hours ago, and here it is, 11:23, going on 24 at night, and you and I are having a conversation, and somebody's going to call, and they're going to be like, no. But somebody else is going to be like, yeah, now he's expected to answer the call every time because that's what they pay you for. You have to save the day every time. That's why they're paying you that. Like, it's your team. You wanted to be the face of the franchise, right? You didn't want to live in Judge's shadow. You wanted to be the greatest Met of all time. You got to come through all the time. Interesting. Baseball is finally back. And if you're heading to the stadium this season, there's no better place to go than Stands, located directly across from Yankee Stadium. Celebrate the start of the season with great Corona specials, all presented by Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. It's officially the start of baseball season, and Corona wants you to enjoy all the festivities. Enjoy opening day with an ice-cold Corona in your hand. Please drink responsibly. Who's the black sheep? And what is a scuttlebutt? I got to go home, bro. I got to go home and go to bed. I've been up since 4 a.m. Just the way that the show just rejoined. Like, I think we got one more break, but it's like, get the scuttlebutt on your teams. Who's the black sheep? Keith McPherson on the fan. 888-808-1019. Happy New Year. Happy opening day. Baseball is back in our lives. No more of this pretending, no more of this guessing, no more of this fake predicting and saying what's going to happen because this person is hurt or this team has what. Or we have real things to go off of as I'm looking at Juan Soto meet the media. As I'm looking at Juan Soto press and try and be the guy. Juan, you already are the guy, Juan. Just let it come to you. Just be yourself. We know you. We've seen you. 888-808-1019. Taking your calls for the next 20 minutes or so. Or whatever you want to talk about sports-wise. But, man, we've gone over the Yankees. A little bit on the Mets. But it's opening day. It's one out of 162. You move on. Yankees will be off. Mets will play tomorrow. And I don't know. There's March Madness on and NBA games on and it's a good time of the year. It's about to warm up. Literally, it's about to warm up Saturday. And yeah, we've done it. We've gotten through another winter, another offseason, and our daily sport is back, our companion that, you know, we can overanalyze and, you know, talk about just endlessly for no reason until the next first pitch. 888-808-1019, the Bear in the Bronx on the fan. What up, Bear?
Chief, how you doing there? You sound a little scratchy.
Yeah, of course. I'm one of those fans that go to Yankee Stadium and I try to lose my mind. I don't know how many times I've been to Yankee Stadium. It's hundreds. I don't act like it's my first time there ever.
Yeah. Just want to ask you very quickly, what do you think about Jason? I mean, do you think he's his first game at Yankee Stadium. He's playing, you know, he's playing, what is it, left field?
Left field, right? They took him out, yeah. I just think he's young, man, and I think it's a lot. And I think the spring was a lot. And it's game one. Embrace the Martian. He's going to settle in. He's going to do some stuff that wow us and make us say, wow, this kid's really got it. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's been 5 years since we've known of him. I got patience for him. Yeah. I'm off the, like, oh, he can't play left field. They won the game today. They won the game today, and he didn't have to do much. And he's young. I'm just giving the young, like, you know, we give grace to the young players. Give him some time.
Yeah, I seen him and Wells when they were at Somerset, and they happened to hit back-to-back home runs that day. And I think he just needs a little time. That's all.
Time, and grace, patience.
Just one more thing. You know, I was downtown about a week or so ago, and I ran into John Heyman. And I asked him, I said, hey, listen, why'd you give him my man key? It was a hard time. All of a sudden, he disappeared on me.
He disappeared on you when you brought up my name?
Yeah. I said, what'd you give my man key for a hard time for? And he just took off. Right. I'll tell you, it was right in front of the garden.
Goodness. We got to end this. Somebody help myself, John, all of us. So we can get... did you hear the other night where I told the story that I Oh, Rami, don't add to it, please. I so badly want this to be a thing of the past. That was so long ago.
I do too, because I thought, look, I heard it. I thought it was well meant, and
I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not that kind of dude. Did you hear the night when I came back from spring training and I said I saw him in the media area and I wanted to talk to him, but I didn't want to force the issue. He seemed like he didn't want to talk to me.
Yeah, now listen, Keith. Let it go, and you're okay, because I know how you meant it. And people, look, it doesn't take a genius. He maybe had a little bit of an off day, because I know he's not a bad guy either. So,
I think we'll sort it out. Thanks for the call, Bear. If you weren't listening, I guess Monday night when I came back, I was in Tampa spring training all last week. That's why I was out. And you know, I told the story about, and I've told multiple times. I've said it on podcasts. I've said it multiple times. I've told this, you know, I said this literally on WFA, and I said it on podcasts. I will see John Heyman. I will run into John Heyman again. And I apologized that night on air, and I've apologized so many other times. I want to apologize to him, to his face. And I don't know. I believe in God. I believe in the universe. I went to... George M. Steinbrenner Field, the boss. And I went to join Dave and Susan on the broadcast. And I say what's up to Brian Hoke. I say what's up to Mark Feinstein. I see Max Goodman. I'm in the media area. And I look out the window and I see John Heyman. And I light up inside. Like, this is my opportunity to, like, make amends or, like make peace or, like, try to, like, bury the hatchet. And I literally had the idea in my head. I'm like, you know, if he's down, we can, like, do something on social media and maybe, like, make this, like, whatever. But I'm like, I see him through the window. He's out where the fans are. I'm in the media area. So I'm like, but he's going to come back up here. And now I'm up here because, like, you know, I'm waiting to go on with Dave and Susan. I go on with Dave and Susan. And, like, I'm chilling in the booth with, like, E-Man, Emmanuel Barbari, and Dave and Susan. I'm just being quiet. I'm quiet as kept. I'm not trying to intrude, whatever. I'm just happy to be at spring training and thankful that they'll allow me to be a part of the broadcast. After I do that seventh inning with them, I kid you not, I come out of the door, and who's the first human being? I look to my left, and I see John, and John comes out of somewhere, and I put two fingers in the air almost to, like, flag him down, like, hey. And he looked at me, and he kept walking, and, like, it gave me a feeling, like, I'm like, I don't know. I'm like this. I'm not that kind of guy, bro. I'm like, it gave me the feeling like I was a bully or like I was somebody like he was trying to avoid. And I'm like, you don't have to avoid me. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. And if you feel any type of way, all I'm trying to do is apologize and thank you. Like, I want to apologize because, like, the way that I approached that interview, I was trying to have a different interview. I'm a fan of yours. if you're a baseball fan, that's how I started the interview. I'm like, if you're a baseball fan, you know this guy. This guy has been writing for years. This guy's been covering baseball for years. Everybody in baseball knows him. I did not think for a millisecond that that interview that night was going to turn into what it turned into. It turned into a viral moment. And that's why I want to thank him, because like that clip got played on Pardon My Take. That clip got played on other radio stations across the country. People did whole podcasts on it. I'm like, Keith McPherson, whatever. But I'm like, all that did was bring more eyes and ears and attention to me. And that is because of the clout and the name that John Heyman has. Not because of me, but because of who John Heyman is. So I wanted to apologize and say, John, you know what? I took a approach joking around with you that I shouldn't have taken, because I don't know you like that. And I did it publicly, and I apologize. I'm sorry. But I want to thank you, because like you came on my show, and like because we had that moment, more people are aware of me. More people have, you know, found me. And like that's because of you. That's it, man. That's it. That's all I want to say. So somebody help me, man. Somebody that's listening that knows John Heyman, relay that message. All this stuff is recorded anyway. Hopefully that gets to him. I just want to shake his hand and tell him, like, I respect you, bro. And I didn't mean for that to come off the way that it did. I joke around. I don't take myself that seriously. Even the way we just rejoined, I'm like, what's a scuttlebutt? Who's the blacks? Like, this stuff is fun. This stuff is not supposed to be that serious. I'm the nighttime host, bro. Like, I don't take myself that seriously. I'm not Mike Francesa. I'm not Mad Dog. I'm not anybody but me. And yeah, that was weird. I thought that was my opportunity to like squash it and whatever, and I didn't get that opportunity. Maybe he doesn't know what I look like. Maybe he didn't recognize me, but like, I do hope to see him one day, shake his hand and say, like, I respect you, and thank you for coming on my show, and also thank you for that moment, and I'm sorry that it got out of pocket and it went away that you didn't like, but like, that wasn't my intention, and like, I wasn't trying to like, you know, and I'm man enough to apologize and admit fault, and I hope that we can be cool. Like, I hope that we can like see each other and like you don't duck me and that you can speak to me. And you know, I'm not going anywhere, bro. Like, I'll be around. I'll be doing stuff. Like, you know, you're gonna be in New York covering the Yankees. I think he's actually in, because I listened to his podcast, The Show, which is one of the best podcasts in baseball. He's actually in Houston covering the Mets. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm a straight shooter. I know who I am. I know the type of man that I am and the person that my mom raised me to be. And I'm not the type of guy to like I wasn't, I couldn't, even the drop that you just dropped, I didn't know that was going to happen that night, bro. I was so excited that day when Connor was like, John Heyman's going to join you at 8. I'm like, let's go. We didn't know where Juan Soto was going to sign yet. And so, yeah, this is what it is. 888-808-1019. We got to take a break here. And last call for calls, and then I'm out of here until Monday. So if you got something you want to call up and say to me, do so. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back. Oh, can I get an encore? Good drop, Rami. You know, I was thinking as I just heard that, like, Eli Manning draft drop. I'm like, man, I went this whole show. I didn't say anything about Shador Sanders. I didn't say anything about Russell Wilson. Baseball's back, baby. We can go a whole 5-hour show. I think 4.5 hours tonight. We don't have to talk about the Giants quarterback room. We didn't say anything about Jameis Winston. We didn't say anything about Cam Ward. Good. Like, we're off that, bro. It's baseball. It's baseball time. Yo, can we bring Fortune? Fortune still on hold? Fort, you there?
I am. Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey, man. Your backyard.
I know. I wish I could have been there, man. I wish I could have seen that.
You know, I told, we just wrapped up a little while ago. An amazing night. You know, we were wondering, the reason that we're kind of down here is tomorrow, Bernie Williams is going to do a clinic in the community for some kids. 150 very lucky, fortunate kids are going to get a baseball clinic with Bernie. And so I kind of inquired about, you know, hey, you know, what's going on at the Stone Pony the night before, because we were getting into town. And I heard the room was dark, and I started talking to the management there. And before you know it, we had a gig, and, you know, I thought about it. I knew it was opening day, and I was like, oh, man. I was like, all right, how are we going to pull this off? And I'm like, wait, Yankees have a 3 o'clock game, so anyone who's down here in this Jersey Shore area, you know, that's not going to the game or watching on TV, I'm like, it's perfect. We start at 7 o'clock, Yankee game's over, and I'm going to tell you, Keith, we obviously had a great, you know, it was kind of sort of a pop-up concert, but great advance, right? So we knew we were going to get a nice crowd. But we decided and we worked with the management that we were going to be selling tickets at the door. And I'm telling you, man, and you know this area, there must have been so many, literally hundreds of people that were like in sports bars or all over the town.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the walk-up was unbelievable after the Yankee game. Everyone came in wearing Yankee jerseys, whatever. It's like a suit, like 15 minutes after the game, there was a huge line out the door to get in. And I don't think we could have fit any more people into the place.
Yeah.
Bernie was on fire. We did a Q&A, whatever. We obviously, we would have loved to have had you. We thought about you. Your name came up. And, you know, we're going to do something else in this area. I even took the back roads driving here. Went right by your, you know, Monmouth University. And but it was a great night. Yankees won the game, so everyone was even in a better mood.
Yep.
So there's a lot of Yankee fans that had, you know, watched a great Yankee opening day win and then came and just watched Bernie and his band shred it. And it was just a great night, man. So since I was thinking about you and talking about you, I told Frank Luna, I'm like, you know, I'm gonna call Keith, man, when I get out of here.
Yeah, so, I appreciate it, Forge. You're the man. On the phone right now is Bernie Williams' manager, Steve Fortunato. Just a solid dude, has done a lot for me. I wish I could have been there, because when we did the event with Paul O'Neill a couple years ago now, like, I was like, Bernie's got to play here. We got to bring Bernie here. I mean, you know, Paul, we did the Q&A and we packed the place out. But, like, you got to feel how many Jersey Shore Yankee fans there are. And I can just tell, word traveled, hey, Bernie's playing at the Stone Pony after the game. If you can get there, try and get there. And everybody descended on the famous Stone Pony. So that's awesome. I wish I could have been there. I know we'll do some other things. We got the whole summer coming up. But, man, I appreciate you calling into my show and checking in before we get out of here.
You got it, man. I know it's late. And obviously, tickets just went on sale for the Bernie Celebrity Softball Game and Concert in Richfield, Connecticut, June 14th. And I know you know, if you haven't told your listening audience, you are going to be one of the players in that game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not moving this year. The last 2 years, I happened to move on the same weekend. This year, I'm playing. This year, I'm ready. I'm not moving. I'm in there. So, looking forward to it.
You got it. All right, man. Best to you and everyone, and great start to the season. Great night for us, and we'll be doing it again soon. All the best to all the fans out there.
Forge, you the man. I'll text you soon. Let's go Devils. We got to figure out, you know, when we're going to go back to the Prudential Center to the Rock. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Last call for calls. I don't think I can get another call in, but I do have time for one more. My guy Jonathan from L.A. came all the way out to New York for opening day. What's up, man?
First things first, bro. My son wants to tell you something, man.
Thank you for the
autograph,
bro.
Thanks a lot, bro. Thank you so much, Keith. We went viral, bro. Did you see him, Judge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see that he gave Sebastian the ball?
I literally just saw on, because I didn't see it in there, but I just saw on Twitter, and I just put two and two together, like, thinking about, like, seeing what Bash was wearing, and when I ran into you guys today, that's a forever moment. Bro, I told you, you're killing it for your son, bro. Go ahead, talk.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. And that's everybody. Everybody was like, hold on, we know that little kid. He's always in Oakland, and you know, I'm not trying to brag, but I'm just so grateful, bro. I'm so blessed. Thank you so much, and God bless all Yankee fans. I love New York. We love coming here. These Yankee fans are the best fans in the world. They're loyal. They're about their business, man. And first things first, like I said, bro, thank you so much for you know, linking up with you. It was good seeing you, bro. We're going to see each other later. Go Yanks and go Judgy for MVP, man. Thanks a lot, my guy.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, it was great. They, you know, Jonathan came out here with his son Bash during the postseason. They're out there in L.A., and they came out for opening day. They came to stands. I had a little WFAN postcard to sign for them, and I just, you know, I appreciate everybody, man, straight up. It's mad love in the Yankee universe. We do have the best fans in the world, like, from Los Angeles to Jersey Shore to all around New York and everywhere. So, here we go. Yankees win, and we got a whole season ahead of us. No one knows what's going to happen. Coming up next is C-Mac, another great Yankee fan. Keep it locked right here.